Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We're continuing our conversation with author Jana Gillam. She is out for a new book, just came out, called The Little Book of Big Dreams. And we talked about what this book was about yesterday. And if you missed yesterday's program, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. And you can find out about this great book. But Jana, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, we want to help people. We talked to you a little bit yesterday at the end about we all have something creative in us, yet I know a lot of people like me think I'm not very creative. But before we get started on that, I got to ask you a question. We gave out your website yesterday, fatsoulclub.com. That's F-A-T-S-O-U-L, club, C-L-U-B.com. Where in the world did you come up with that name?
Isn't that crazy? I love it. First of all, I love taking the word fat and redeeming it, because a lot of times in our culture, the word fat is just considered a bad word. You know what? It's a wonderful word. It means sturdy. It means stout. It means strong. Mm. And I got this word actually out of the King James Version of the Bible, which typically I don't read, but I did read one time in Proverbs 13:4, where it said, "The soul of the diligent shall be made fat." And I was like, oh, man, if I ever have a company, I want to name it the Fat Soul Club, because I just love the way it sounds. So there you go. That's how it came about. Fat Soul Club, soul of the diligent, because hardworking people, it does. It builds you, you know, and it feeds you to be able to feel good about yourself because you've accomplished something.
Well, I do that you'd share with before we went on air about the people of God. I know people are thinking, wow, this has a faith-based component to it. She's calling people fat. But
absolutely.
You should go check out her website, fatsoulclub.com. All right. You are very creative as a musician. You're a writer. But, you know, you talked to me about one of your pet peeves, though. What is that?
I have more people tell me, well, I'm just not creative. And that just gets to me, because we were all created to be creative people. If you think about it, being created in the image of God, God is a creator. So if we are created in his image, we are naturally creative. So, yeah, that's a pet peeve of mine.
I like that. You challenge me out, because I don't consider myself creative. But one of the things, though, is our culture, though, they kind of put narrow bounds on creativity, don't they?
Yeah, they say that, well, you have to be an artist or a musician or a photographer or a writer to be considered a creative, but that's not true. Everybody can apply creativity to the work that they do, or they can draw on their inner creativity in many, many, many ways that just aren't recognized by Hollywood.
So what would you say to people that are listening and say, okay, all right, Jana, I love your enthusiasm, your passion. I hear you. You can pull the God card on me there. What do you tell people that are listening that say, you know, but I'm not creative?
First thing I would tell you to do is turn off your TV.
And ouch.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, stop comparing yourself to other people. Spend time praying. Start thinking about the times in your life when you were doing something that just made time stand still. When you were so wrapped up in whatever that was, you didn't even notice the clock.
Well, I love that. You talked about the comparing yourself with others. We all do that. Turn off the TV. Oh, my goodness. Especially during basketball season, that's tough for me. But I think the thing that really, you know, we all have 24 hours in one day.
Yeah.
And yet it's how we use those hours. And it's just making a decision. And, I mean, obviously you had to make a few sacrifices to get your book done. You work a full-time job.
That's
you,
right.
And you travel a lot. So,
that's right.
But you were able to find time to do that. You know, one of the things that you talked about with something you just didn't notice, time went by. And as a kid, I can remember going down to lived in Somerset, Kentucky, 9 years old. My mom back then, it was safe. We lived probably about, I don't know, half a mile from the library. And we could walk downtown. We lived downtown and walk to the library, check out some sports books, and stop at the Dairy Queen, get a chocolate dipped cone. And man, that was just heaven on earth for me. And I guess you're maybe kind of wanting to challenge people to think back, maybe something they did enjoy in their childhood, possibly.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, when you're a kid is probably when you're not caring so much about what other people think about you. You are just into whatever you're into, and you're exploring that. And I think when you start to go back to that place inside you that stops caring what other people think and start exploring, then that takes you back into your creative place, let's say. So, for example, I love that your mom took you to the library. What were some of the things, like obviously sports, what were you curious about getting into?
Yeah, I loved finding biographies. I don't know, I always liked history stuff. Mm-hmm. Things like learning how people, whether it was sports or army people and generals and things like that. I just loved autobiographies of famous people. And so, I think a lot of times we were put in places to enjoy things that we enjoy, but we didn't realize that maybe that was our creative side, did we?
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't it interesting how when you start studying something maybe early in life, it can come back around later?
Yes, no doubt about it. The sports stuff, I've shared this on the program before, but I've always loved sports radio and got a chance to finally do that at the age of 49 and did that for 3 years, and then that didn't work out. But my love for sports books and time at the library in Somerset, but yet God used that to be the foundation for this radio program. So God used that creative design that I had there with that. So, and I love that's what you've done too. I mean, you've done something else. You didn't write this book at 22. You, like me, got a few seasons under your belt, right?
Just so the audience knows, I'm officially older than Greg. Not by much. But we are peers.
We are. We're in the same neighborhood. Very close. Very close. So.
And we're not afraid to start at an older season in life. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, and that's the thing I love about your book. That's for, I think will resonate for mature people. I'll say it like myself, is that I think all of us have some dream in us. And You've been able to do that with this book. You also do it with your music. I love that. You've got the gift of music. You play keyboards. You write music and things. And, you guys aren't going to play Rupp Arena, but you go a lot of places and play for people and bless people, don't you?
We do. And I think about that sometimes, how when I was a kid, all I ever wanted to be was a rock star, And how many people does that ever actually happen for? And is that even a good thing to have happen in your life when we see how stuff goes with the culture? And so I am so grateful that God has given me the opportunity to do music with this group of people that I love and to go and share this music. And we know it blesses people because they tell us so and they invite us back. So that's just been a wonderful thing to get to do. And we've had that group now for 8 years and been all over the bluegrass and a few places beyond and shared that and just had a tremendous time. I think it's so important to do what you love. That's what it comes down to. It's finding that thing in you that just feeds you, that makes you happy, again, makes you lose sense of time, because that's what you were created to do. And there's something about that fuels positivity in the rest of your life. And again, back to this whole thing about hope. I'll take it one step further. Let's say you figure out what that dream is or what that experience is, and you find a way to use that to help other people. If you're depressed, man, that'll knock it out right there. I call that a hope booster. Mm-hmm. Find that thing you love. Go do it in a way that helps others, you're on your way.
And that could just start out maybe even doing something in that area of volunteering.
Absolutely.
You may not get paid to do it yet or whatever, but doing it in some area you like volunteering. Let me ask you this. What do you think keeps people from chasing their dream or doing something that God's put in their heart?
I think the fear of failure. I think the fear of what is everybody else going to think. I think that there are people in your life that will say, you want to do what? You can't do that. And I would encourage you to take all of that and use it as fuel to jumpstart you and say, well, yes, I can, or I can at least die trying. And why not?
Well, I love that, because a lot of times well-meaning people, they love you, they do, but it is maybe a little outside of the norm. And I think everybody likes to play it safe, but I heard a pastor say one time that they did a survey of over 100 people that were in their 90s and asked them what were the top three things that, you know, if they had to do over again, what they'd do. And one of the top three, one was work less, two, spend more time fame. But the third one was they would have taken more chances.
Absolutely.
And I hear that's kind of what you're saying with chasing your dream, maybe.
Absolutely. And one of the things about the way this book is structured is that this is not just start to get into this happy place and dream and poof, sitting on your couch, this dream is going to show up at your front door. No, it's really more like a recipe. In fact, I feel like I'm living this recipe myself, following it to what does it take to, one, identify what your dream is, and then two, the step-by-step creative process and journey that it takes to take that dream and actually bring it to fruition. It doesn't happen fast. And you do have to make sacrifices along the way. You have to say, what's more important to me? Is it more important to me to watch this rerun again or to go in, shut the door, and focus and get this done?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, you know, it's available there. It really is for you. And one of the things that I love that I've heard you say, Jana, you said, I believe that God created us to pray, but also to play.
That's right. That's right. And we as adults don't do that enough. I mean, you were saying what keeps people from dreaming. Maybe we're all just a little too busy. Because when you weekly do set aside that time to rest, your brain rejuvenates. When you deliberately stop working and go do what you love, there's a, again, it feeds your, that creative process, it just, it grows it and it gives it energy and it moves you into thinking differently. And that's what creativity is all about, right? So that play factor, that rest factor, make it possible for you to get your imagination going and solve problems differently and have some fun along the way. How about that one?
Yeah. One of my favorite Bible verses, a cheerful heart is medicine to the soul.
That's so right.
All right. So people are listening. You know, okay, I want to get creative. Your book, The Little Book for Big Dreamers, how will that book help people tap into their positive power of creativity?
Well, as I said a minute ago, this is a very honest book. It's not, hey, this is going to show up on my front porch. It means you actually have to do the work to make it happen. But it's a fun, easy read that can give you some really significant guidance. And I think it's one that you'll go back to again and again and again, which again is a great reason to give it as a gift. You know, I sometimes get stuck in that place of, oh man, I have nothing to give. I'm just going to have to do cash. Mm-mm. This is a legacy type of gift that you can pass on knowing it's going to inspire somebody to improve their situation in life.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I know you got some approval at Thanksgiving from some relatives.
I sure did. My granddaughters last year saw preliminary illustrations, and they're like, we want this now. And this year, I was able to actually give them a book. And seventh grader Noel came up to me, gave me a wonderful huge hug, and said, Nana Jana, I am proud of you.
Well, she should be, because it is a really, really nice book and would make a great gift. And so if you want to pick one of these up, Jana, what's the best way to do that again?
So on my website, www.fatsoulclub.com, or go to the Berea Artisan Center and pick one up there.
All right. Well, if you're driving, once again, we'll have this on our website, hopeishere.today. But I think you'd be blessed as an adult, or if you're looking for a great, unique Christmas gift that would be something that would last, as Jana said, a legacy, check out this book, The Little Book for Big Dreamers by Jana Gillum. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.